said, "To what shall we liken the kingdom of God? Or with what parable shall we picture it? It is like a mustard seed, which when it is sown on the ground, is smaller than all the seeds of the earth. But when it is sown, it grows up and becomes greater than all the herbs, and shoots out large branches, so that the birds of the air may nest under its shade. And with many such parables he spoke the word to them, as they were able to hear it. But without a parable he did not speak to them, but when they were alone he explained all things to his disciples. On the same day, when evening had come, he said to them, 'Let us cross over to the other side.' And when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was, and other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat, so that it was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said to him, 'Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?' Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, 'Peace, be still.' And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. But he said to them, 'Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?' And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, 'Who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him?'" Well, so reads God's holy word. May he bless it to our hearts and encourage us as we look to it this morning. Let's come before God in prayer. Let's seek his face.
Will you turn with me to the portion of scripture that we read this morning in Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. Considering the Lord Jesus still in the storm this morning, I suppose this past week we've seen this devastating storm of, I think it's called the hurricane, was it the hurricane, the great storm there, in the and it's hit Florida, Winston, I think it's called, and we've no doubt seen something of the devastation that it's caused. And of course, not only was it the storm Winston hit Florida last week, but we've only got to go back 2 weeks ago. I was in Manchester preaching 2 weeks back, and we returned on the Sunday night from ministering there, and there a storm where was planned very heavy rain, and sure enough the weather forecasters were right. And as we made our way down, we came down the A40 thankfully, and not down the M1, but the heavens opened. The wind howl started to come, raised itself enormously, and we were traveling down the M40 around about High Wycombe area, and we could hardly see out of the windscreen. The weather, the rain was torrential, the wind was enormous, and before long we hit two instances, we came across two accidents. One car turned completely around, facing the wrong direction. A lorry into the gone into the central reservation, and carnage all around. And further down, the same thing happened. Thankfully, the Lord brought us back safely. But you all know that we're going through times when there can be enormous storms. Had we gone down the M1, so many of you have probably seen the A14, which runs at a tangent round where Milton Keynes is. The M14 was like a river and wasn't able to be used for a number of weeks while they pumped the water out. Yes, we're all familiar with storms, particularly in this particular time. And it's made me think back to the storms which suddenly arose in the Lord Jesus Christ's life, and how relevant that is to us to draw on. In fact, it seems a relevant theme. It was Keir Starmer, when he was in the Labour Party conference, he used the same metaphor. He said these words, "Turn up your collar and face the storm." I don't really remember that one. Turn up your collar and face the storm. And our Lord Jesus, nothing new. Storms come in life. It's just part of we should half anticipate and expect. And it was the same, how we face those storms is so important. And our Lord Jesus was no stranger, and the disciples were no stranger to storms which suddenly arose in their circumstances. And I think it's very important to notice this, that how our Lord faced the storm and the disciples learned to face the storm. And there are lessons that we can learn from it this morning. And I want us to note, here was our Lord. He had been ministering in chapter 4, verse 35. The context of the passage is so important. Our Lord had been ministering all day, teaching parables. Red broke into the parable of the kingdom of God likened unto a mustard seed. It was interesting. There was a program on. We would put the telly on at tea time. I don't know you when you see these quiz shows. And it asked the question about having what is the smallest seed what can grow, as it were, into a great herb. And of course, nobody said, "I've never heard of that before." Faith like a mustard seed, and mustard seed so small. And so it reminds us, that program reminded me of that passage. We've just read it here. And our Lord had been teaching in parables. And after a day of ministry to the multitudes of people that he'd ministered to, he brings his disciples, urges them to come across. The same day, after teaching long hours, he says, "The evening's come, let us cross over to the other side." They're at the Sea of Galilee. Try and get your mind around this. Here they are at the Sea of Galilee. The Sea of Galilee, or the Lake Tiberias, is the lowest freshwater lake on earth. It's 215 meters below sea level. It's 13 mile long. It's 8.5 miles wide at its largest point. Its circumference is 33 miles. So it's no, I'm not familiar with lakes around here, but I would call it, there's no Roath Park Lake like in Cardiff or lakes which you might think of. It's quite a substantial lake. And the maximum depth, we're told, is 141 feet. And of course, it's fed by the River Jordan, flowing down from the north to the south through Lebanon. And you can imagine our Lord, after a long, hot day, weary from the constant questioning and teaching of his people, makes his way to the shores of the Sea of Galilee. The sun is setting, and after that long day of teaching, his 12 disciples, they come to the sea, the shores of Galilee. Of course, it was no strange place for at least four of the disciples. After all, they were fishermen, and made me wonder, I wonder how they managed to borrow the boat. Or was it one of the fishermen's own boat? We do not know. It certainly was. We're not told that, but certainly they're able to obtain this boat. It wasn't like a little rowing boat that sometimes you go out. It was certainly big enough to hold the 12 disciples and maybe more, and certainly big enough for our Lord to lie down in the back of the boat and fall asleep. So it was no small little boat. And there they make their journey across the Sea of Galilee. And as you know, the story that was there on that boat, a great windstorm arose. And the first thing is a furious storm. One of the things which are the characteristics, the geographical nature of Galilee and the Sea of Galilee, because of the mountains which are high up, it is known even now to have enormous storms which can suddenly come upon the sea and upon that area. And the sea can be whipped up, and the weather can change so quickly. And that was the case here. Here is our Lord in the boat. He's there with his disciples. They cast off. They're making their way across the sea. And it's just a touch there. The Lord is in the back of the boat. and he's fast asleep. I don't know how you sleep on boats. I don't know how you manage going on boats, but can you imagine the scene? Can you imagine being there? And the wind howling, and the waves lashing in. And indeed, the nature of the very words which are used here. The windstorm rose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. So what we have is that the water is overcome, the waves are being lashed in the boat and coming into the boat itself. So much so that the boat is starting to sink. That's the picture that we have before us in the scriptures here this morning. And as we have that illustration, it made me think that so often in our lives, within the disciples' lives, this storm came suddenly, a furious storm, which had, as it were, brought fear to their very lives. They were no wimps, were they? They were fishermen. Some of them were fishermen. Others had other trades. They were men who were used to hardness of life. But in this situation, they were brought to be great fear in their lives. Such was the ferocity of the storm. Now, as I think about this, trying to apply to ourselves, there are times in our lives that we can go through storms. All is calm, as it were, one moment, and the next, we go through enormous storms, so much so that we can be fearful, and we wonder what on earth the Lord is doing. One can think of storms, metaphorically storms, where I would say in providence, that difficult things can happen in our lives. Sudden losses can be painful. Thinking of maybe a sudden death. We were thinking this morning of the sudden death of the Scottish leader of the Independent Party. Name's gone for a moment. But it can happen suddenly. I remember one of the first experiences that Shirley and I had of sudden death was when we just got married, and my father-in-law, who was a fit man, relatively speaking, as far as we were concerned, very active, 50 years of age, very craftsman. We were with him on the prayer meeting night. We went to his home. He's not a believer, wasn't a believer. We had a cup of tea. We had a nice time of supper with him and left. And within an hour, he was summoned into glory, summoned in before the master's face. Death can come suddenly and can turn us upside down. Storms of life can come. When think of, I think it was His Royal Highness William, he spoke about sudden death and losses are so painful. And he said these words, "You are at a total loss, total loss." And of course, there are sudden losses which can come. There can be storms in providence. There can be storms in the place of work. You can be working and you may have a job, and all of a sudden you're called into the boss's office and you're told you haven't got a job, and clear your desk and go. I'll always remember it happened with a relative of mine who had a very prestigious job and had done his job faithfully and well, and there he was summoned in and he'd lost his job. Turned the world upside down, as it were, for him. And equally, there can be losses and storms of our health. Maybe that's maybe more relevant to some of you this morning. You may have gone along, your health has been very good for a long, long time. And all of a sudden, you have a difficulty. You have an appointment with the doctor, and the doctor tells you some bad news. And your fears are, as it were, confirmed when you have certain results. Storms can come in which turn the whole person upside down. And of course, not only storms in providence with sudden death, with storms in work situations, storms which come in the life of the church. Sadly, that even within the life of the church, difficulties can come, trials and problems can afflict us. and how important it is. I've been reminded yesterday as I was reading the scriptures when the Apostle James, the half-brother of our Lord, he said, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. He said those words, that count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. Yes, there are storms which come in life. And indeed, how important it is that in the midst of the storms, we are, as it were, like the disciples with Jesus in the boat, to use that same metaphor. Some of you will remember there was a chorus, goes back when I was a kid, and I learned those words, with Christ in the vessel, you can smile at the storm. Can you remember it? I can't remember the actual tune, how it goes, but Christ in the vessel, you can smile at the storm. But it came back to my mind. Are you in the vessel of Christ? Are you in the vessel? Is Christ in your life and heart? Is he your Savior? Are you trusting in him? It's so important. How sad it is that multitudes and millions of men and women face the storms of life with no hope, with no Savior, heading for a lost eternity. But what a glorious message we have. What a wonderful Savior we have, who is able to do above and beyond all that we can ever ask or think. Have we got that? Are we in the vessel of Christ? Are we trusting in him as our Savior? And so we can move on to see, not only do we see this furious storm which can arise in our lives, but we can see there was a frantic cry. A frantic cry. Look, listen what it says here in the scriptures. It says, they cried out, teacher, do you not care that we're perishing? As the water cascaded into the ship, one by time and time again, as they became more and more alarmed. You can almost imagine the disciples there looking at one another and wondering, what are we going to do? This boat is sinking. And no doubt looking into the stern of the ship and seeing the Lord fast asleep, as if he's not interested and not caring about them. And they're frantic in their cry. They cry, Master, do you not care? Their ship being swamped. And we find they cry out, in the storm? And they wake him and said, teacher, do not care. Do you not care that we're perishing? Now, there's a thing to notice here, that our Lord was asleep. It shows, first of all, the humanity of our Lord. It shows that the Bible tells us, there's a verse in Hebrews which said, he was tempted in all points like as we, yet without sin. He was a true man, a true person. He knew what it was to feel hunger and to feel pain and to feel suffering. He knew what it was to feel tired and exhausted, because truly this sleep was a sleep of exhaustion after preaching and teaching the multitudes of men and women all day. He's fast asleep in the ship. And it does demonstrate to us that Christ Jesus was a true man, tainted, as it were, experienced all the feelings of our humanity. And it's important to recognize that he was true man. And the disciples, as it were, who are so frightened when they're in danger, they are filled with a mixture of unbelief and fear, and they cry to him. Now, that can happen to us as well, as the Lord's people. Trials can come. Difficulties can come, which can totally overwhelm you. We ourselves, the last months haven't been easy months. And difficulties have come, which, as it were, almost overwhelms us. And we begin to say, Lord, What are you doing here? Why are you allowing this to happen to me? I don't need this. I don't want this. And we become fearful and concerned. Have you ever experienced that? Where you say, Lord, why me? As it were, we become like the disciples. We become full of anxiety, and we almost tell the Lord, why? Why are you allowing this? Teacher, don't you care? That we're perishing, we're dying. Do you not care? Of course he does care. But that's part of our humanity, isn't it? That's part of the evidence that in us, whilst we can be saved men and women who have known the Lord Jesus and are trusting him for salvation, there are times when the clouds come over and the difficulties come and the storms beat upon us and we become more and more fearful and we cry, Lord, what are you doing? My friends, are you going through a storm this morning? Maybe as a church, let me try to stretch it a little bit here, but as a church, your dear pastor who's been ministering here for 50 plus years, the Lord has taken him to glory. And you're wondering, what's going to happen? We need to fresh, as it were, recognize it's a storm, it's a difficulty, it's uncertainty. But we need to remember that the Lord knows all about it. And we can cast our care on him. He's not gone asleep. He knows your circumstances. He's not one who's not caring about you. You're his people. And God has his man and his servant that he's even preparing now. And we can rest in that great confidence this morning. And so we find there's this frantic cry. Carest thou not that we perish? Put an application in here. There's this frantic cry. Is there a cry from you as the Lord's people that the Lord might raise up a man to be his servant? Is there that plead with him? Sometimes we want God to do things, but we don't ask him. Remember that lovely chorus, isn't it? Ask, ask, ask. And it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Your heavenly Father is so kind. What do we know of asking on the prayer meeting? Let me urge you as a congregation to gather together on Tuesday. I've never been to your prayer meeting. I'd love to be there to pray with you, but I've never been there. But do you see the importance of prayer? As a corporate body, you say, well, I say my prayers every morning and every evening. But do you see your need as a company of God's people, of gathering together, of besieging God, as it were, and pleading with him that he might work in this situation, in your lives as a congregation, that there's this town of Rochford might be changed as it's been changed over the years at different times, that God might move in situations. My friends, we need to be a people of prayer who give him no rest until he makes Zion a praise in the earth. Are you like that? And if not, be like it in the days ahead. In the midst of the storm, we have a Savior who is aware of your needs. And whose aim has promised to do above and beyond all that you can ever ask or think. There's a furious cry. I trust there will be a furious cry on Tuesday as you gather, that God might be glorified through the ministry of his place, this church, for a new generation of men and women that are heading for lost eternity. But not only do we see this furious cry by the disciples, and indeed it's a reminder to us, there's one little point I would make there. Our Lord says, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? There are times, aren't there? Circumstances which make us fearful. That was the case with the disciples. Their faith, they had trust in the Lord Jesus. They'd seen his mighty miracles. They'd heard him teach. They knew he was able to do mighty things. But now the situation was overwhelmed them. Nothing could be done. And maybe we've got it like that. Nothing can be done. Fear not, little flock, the Lord said. Why have you so little faith? It's a phrase that I've preached it often. You have to trust the Lord when you cannot trace his hand. I'll say it again. You have to trust God where you cannot trace. You know, the paper used to have tracing paper. You can't get tracing paper today. When I was a kid, you used to do a drawing, and you get a tracing paper, and you'd place it on the drawing, and you'd go over it, and you can get the outline of whatever you were drawing. That's the picture, tracing God. Trusting God where you can't trace what God is doing. You can't work it out. It's then we have to trust God. In the midst of sadnesses, in the midst of the storms, whatever the storm may be, we have to trust in the Lord. Remember that verse? I'm sure you all learned it in the Sunday school days. Most of us here, I'm sure, have been Sunday school children. Proverbs 3, verse 5. Trust in the Lord. With some of your heart? No. With all your heart. And lean not to your own understanding. But in some of your ways? No. In all your ways, acknowledge him. And he will direct your paths. So we need to be people in the midst of our frantic cry who trust in the Lord, knowing that he is able. And so in the midst of it, the Lord says, trust in me. And as we think of this wonderful event which took place, I want us, verse 39, to think about the third heading is the unforgettable miracle. The unforgettable miracle. Matthew records it. It's interesting that Matthew, Mark, and Luke all record the stilling of the storm. Okay? Shows how significant, how what an impact it had on them. Jesus stood up and he rebuked the wind. Luke says he rebuked the wind and the raging sea. Mark says he rebuked the wind. And the word rebuke is used many times. Peter rebuked the Lord when he was in the garden, when he was in the upper room. Lord, you shall not wash my feet. Disciples rebuked people who brought children to Jesus. They said, get away, we don't want these children to come. Suffer not. But Jesus said, suffer children to come to me. And Jesus rebuked demons and evil spirits. He cast them out. But here's the Lord standing up. Can you imagine the scene? And he speaks to the wind. Peace, be still. Now, if I got in the, just imagine me coming down the M40 two weeks ago, getting out of the car, and as it were, shouting out in the middle of the M40, peace, be still. You think I lost it, wouldn't you? You wouldn't do it. But here's the Lord. You can imagine the disciples. Their mouths must have dropped that he addresses the wind and says, peace, be still. And to their amazement, the wind ceased and the waters became still. And such is the wonder and the amazement that they can say, even what manner of man is this, that even the winds and the waves obey his voice. Hallelujah. And praise God that the Savior who stilled the wind and the sea so many hundreds of years ago is the same Savior who has the same power to break into the lives of men and women and bring peace into their souls as they turn from their sin, as they put their trust in the Lord. In the midst of the storms of life, whatever the storm may be, he can come to us and he can comfort us and he can grant us to know that underneath are his everlasting law arms, and we can be sure and we can be confident that he will keep us and protect us and will carry us over to his promised land. My friend, what a Savior we have this morning. What a Redeemer we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Of course, our Savior did what no other man has done or ever will do. He stilled the storm. And of course, the implication of this is this. Such a miracle pointed that when he said, what manner of man is this that even the winds and the waves are still at his word? It is a pointer to us that this is none other than God himself, the Son of God, to whom all power has been given. Listen to Psalm 107, verse 29. He stills the storm to a whisper. It's a psalm which is speaking of God's activity in dealing with his children of Israel as he led them out of Egypt. And as he demonstrated his mighty power. And it says he stilled the storm to a whisper. Psalm 104, it says, Lord God, you are very great. You are clothed with splendor and majesty. You wrap yourself in light as with a garment. You stretch out the heavens like a tent. He makes the clouds his chariots, and he rides on the wings of the wind. He makes the winds his messengers, the flames of fire his servants. And he sets the earth on its foundation, and it can never be moved. And at his rebuke, the waters fled. The same God who worked in the Old Testament is the man Jesus Christ who stilled the waters of the Sea of Galilee. And he's the same Savior who's in heaven now, who can rebuke the winds of life, the storms of life, and say, be still. There's that lovely hymn sung to Finlandia. Be still, my soul, the Lord is on thy side. Bear patiently the cross of grief or pain. Leave to thy God to order and provide. He patiently will bring you through. Words gone from there. But that's what we need to grasp afresh. Be still and know that I am God. May God help us as we think of this morning. This miracle left the disciples with only one statement. Who is this? That even the wind and the sea obey him. Are you left this morning and say, wow, what is this man Jesus? What a Savior. Can we say with the hymnist, a wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord. A wonderful Savior to me. He hides my soul in the cleft of the rock. And grants rivers of joy and of pleasure to see. My friends, have you grasped that? Is Christ your wonderful Savior? So in the midst of the storms of life, you can rest in him and you can trust in him when the storms come, when the wind blows, and when everything seems to be this total disaster. I can trust my Lord to work all things for my good. May it be that though as the Lord writes this lesson on my heart, and may me do it to you individually. I don't know what trials you're going through, You may be, everything may be wonderful in your life. But tomorrow you may face a trial which will knock you for six. Or next week, hope not. But storms come, don't they? And in the midst of the storms, blessed be God, we have a Savior who is in heaven, ever living to make intercession for us, who's promised his people and said, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. May God help us to take comfort and confidence in the Lord Jesus afresh today and give him the glory. For great he is and greatly to be praised. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your living word. Thank you that you still the storms and said, peace be still. I pray, Father, that if there are any here this morning that are facing storms of life in such a way that they're overwhelmed, help them to know that you are the one who is able to come to them and draw near, and that he may abide with us, and we can know his comfort, and we can feel and experience his peace still in the storms. Oh Lord, enlarge our faith, enlarge our confidence in you, the living God, the living Savior, who's in heaven, ruling and reigning on high, and the Savior who's promised to work all things and is working all things for our eternal good. And to him be all the praise and all the glory for now and evermore. Amen. Now to him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding great joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forevermore. Amen.